Meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, there we go.
Thanks very much, Desiree. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Welcome, everyone, to this Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance conference call on the 4th of February, 2019. The first one of this year, but it's quite a full agenda that we have today. We'll start with a roll call, please, Desiree.
Okay, and apologies in advance for any mispronunciations I will do. In the room, we have Becky Burr, Ben Wallace, Jim Prendergast, Luis van der Laan, Sivasu Bramian, and of course, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. And for ICANN staff, we have Mandy Carver, Nigel Hickson, Benny Markovsky, and Vera Major.
Thanks very much for this, Desiree. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Do we have anybody just on the phone line without being in the room? Or have we missed anybody in the roll call so far? Nope. Okay. So let's go swiftly through our agenda. We're going to be looking for about 10 minutes at the forthcoming public session and face-to-face meetings at ICANN 64. After that, we'll have a discussion about the WESIS Forum and whether we wish to participate this year. After this, there will be an update on the SOAC chartering of the CCEG. So there's a mix, if you want, on this agenda of policy and, you know, updates and then procedural stuff. Then we'll have a report from the MAC consultations that have taken place last week in Geneva. And finally, an update from Veni Markovsky about the latest developments on cybersecurity at the United Nations. Is there any additional business or are there any amendments to be made to this agenda? I'm not seeing anybody putting their hand up, so we can start right away with the TCWG on IG public session and face-to-face meetings at ICANN 64. We have made requests for two sessions, as per usual. The face-to-face meeting will very likely be, again, a meeting with the board working group on Internet governance. And that agenda can be discussed and put together at a sort of a time closer to the meeting itself. The public session itself, there was a proposal that we would have a meeting discussing extraterritoriality. That's a big thing going on at the moment with the GDPR and with the, of course, the EPDP on all these issues on who is and so on. And Konstantinos Kamaitis from the Internet Society has run such a workshop, if you want. It's not even a workshop. It's just such a discussion at the Barcelona meeting just for the Internet Society people, and wondered whether it was perhaps the right time to share this with the wider ICANN community and to engage in a wider discussion that would include all stakeholders at ICANN. So that's what's on the table. I've shared this on the mailing list, and I've not seen anybody speak against it, apart from Marilyn Cade, who felt that perhaps we would be looking at the UN process at the moment on the high-level panel. But others have supported this. So I wanted to give it a last chance for us to make a choice here and then proceed forward with the direction that we wish to take on this. I'm opening the floor for any comments, support, counterpoints, counterarguments, et cetera. Jim Prendergast.
Yeah, thanks, Olivier. Jim Prendergast for the transcript. I don't think the high level panel will be sort of ripe for any substantive discussion, only because there was an update to the community this morning and they still have a few months to go. So I don't I think at some point it's going to be right, but I think we're a little early for the pace that they're proceeding at. So, thanks.
Thanks for this, Jim. Perhaps we can bank this then, it's Olivier speaking, perhaps we can bank this for the next meeting, the one that will take place in Marrakesh in June. If I think by that time there should be some further, I guess, some further reports ready by then.
Olivier?
And someone said Olivier Aguilar.
This is Benny. I just I'm not in front of my computer. So yes, the report, the high level panel report should be published by the June meeting. And the question is whether you would want the community to discuss it after it's published, or whether you want to inform the community what's happening. And the board, obviously, what's happening. I mean, not that you don't know during the discussion, because the high-level panel secretariat is doing extensive outreach. They have public sessions. They talk to anybody who is willing to listen. So, yes, in March, there will be no, I mean, in a month's time, there will be no new information. But by June, it will be published already. That's it.
Thanks for this, Fanny. It's Olivier speaking. I wondered whether there would be an ability in June to perhaps have someone from the high-level panel, whether it's Jovan or whoever else, who will be able to talk to us about this and engage in a dialogue and discussion. Is there any indication as to this or not?
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon, Olivier. It's Nigel.
Nigel Hickson, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, so, yeah, we've been talking to the Secretariat in Geneva, and they were willing, obviously, to update us at any time that we should choose. So there should be no problem in having a in having some sort of report back in June. The proposal, if it's out by then, goes to the Secretary General, and it's only the Secretary General that then decides whether it, you know, is published, except is published publicly. But I mean, it would be very unusual if it wasn't. So yes, I mean that might be a good time for discussion. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Nigel. I do have a question regarding this process, because there were some moments when community input was required or was sought after, not required, but sought after. Is there any opportunity or chance for community input to be integrated in this now, or are we past the community input stage, and is it just a case of the high-level panel working its way through what they've received and drafting a report?
Yeah, thank you, Olivia. Yes, and we did get, after sort of going onto the list asking for input, we did get input from a number of people on the list, and we got input internally within the staff as well. It was decided not to put a submission in the end, not a written submission, so we didn't do a written submission. We drafted one, but we didn't put one in. But we did do oral sort of presentations, or not presentations, but oral input to the panel secretariat and to a number of panel members during the various discussions that took place in Geneva the week before last. So, but we haven't formally submitted anything.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Nigel. So I'm not seeing any other hands in the queue at the moment. Checking the chat. Yeah, Jim mentioned that the deadline for the written submissions was January the 31st. So having a meeting in March regarding this topic doesn't really make sense. And so if that's the case, then are you all okay with proceeding forward with the extraterritoriality and building something from there? And what I would suggest telling Konstantinos Komaitis about this is that he should structure this so that there is first, I guess, a discussion and definition of what the extraterritoriality is, make it very much centered on the GDPR and relating it directly to anything, well, to the ICANN remit, I would say. So definitely relating it to the the requirements regarding who is, perhaps having someone from the EPDP. By then, I gather that the EPDP's report, final report, will be ready as well, so they will be able to share insight with regards to extraterritoriality on this, and then perhaps looking at what other aspects of extraterritoriality might affect ICANN in the future on all matters of policy in ICANN. Because if we're seeing this happening once, we can bet that there's some are going to try to do the same thing with other things. I'm not seeing any objections, so let's then proceed forward with that, in which case we can then move to the next item, and that's the WESIS forum. That yes, takes place this year.
Olivier.
Oh, Olivier. Yes.
Sorry, if I...
Nigel, go ahead.
Sorry, just to... I've got any objections. But, no, just a couple of points on the IG public meeting. A number of people from outside the organisation, obviously, from ICANN, will be at that meeting. And if it would be possible to have a very brief update, perhaps, on the IGF 2019, I mean, not a great discussion, but just an update on the plans for Berlin. I think that might be useful for some community members. The ITU representative will be there and has asked perhaps if you can have a minute just to flag a couple of things happening at the ITU in relation to ICANN as well. But, I mean, these can be very brief under AOB or as you see structured. At the moment, we've got an hour and a half for the IG public session, so perhaps we can fit a brief look ahead at various internet issue discussions taking place up to Marrakesh, etc. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for this, Nigel. Olivier Capanablanc speaking. I wasn't aware that we had an hour and a half, so if that's the case, then it would absolutely make sense to have updates perhaps during the first 20 minutes. We'll start with updates from different invitees. You mentioned the ITU and mentioned the IGF. We can definitely have a look at what updates we have, put them in the first 20, 25 minutes or so, and then afterwards we've got the full rest of the hour, if you want, at that point, to discuss extraterritoriality. So we don't have the problem of having to cut a debate short when there's still time and having to fight for the updates to then take the last 5 minutes. I know how debates can go on and can expand to take any available space possible. So,
yeah.
Okay. Thanks for this, Nigel. Okay, so that sounds like a plan then for the public session and Staff and I will be working towards presenting a first draft of the agenda and sharing it on the mailing list. Now, the next thing in our agenda is the WESIS Forum. That's from April the 9th to the 13th. Now, in past WESIS Fora, there was always some workshop organized by ICANN. I think that if I remember correctly, there was one workshop that was very much ICANN forum, and then there was another workshop that was put together by the community on a specific topic. I'm not sure when the deadline for submission of workshops is. I'm not sure either how many people from this community will be going to WESIS forum, as it's customary for the people in this working group and in general ICANNers to go to the WESIS forum and attend the meeting. So I'm not really sure how we wish to move forward on this, and I certainly am happy to open the floor to hear any suggestions. Jim Prendergast mentions the deadline. Is that the deadline is February the 10th? Yes. Okay, so we haven't got that much time to make up our mind and to come up with a topic. Laurie Shulman is a maybe for WESIS. I'm just trying to think of last year. What did we organize? Nigel, you have a better memory than I do. What was last year's WISIS forum?
Yes, thank you, Nigel. So while I'm trying to think of that, or others are trying to think of that, so this year's WISIS forum, yes, the dates you've said, we have to put in an overall submission by the 10th. So not just for the we have to put in a submission on our involvement in the WISIS forum, the fact that we're going to have a stand, the fact that we're proposing perhaps a number of workshops, etc. We have to put a submission in into having a high level speaker, which we hope to have Yoram Marby. We hope that he might come to the WISIS forum this year. So there's a number of things we have to do, which we've started to construct, and obviously the CWGIG. Workshop will be one of those to put in. I think last year we did have one, but I'm just straining to think what it was about. But what we have to do...
Nigel, it's Olivier speaking. I can refresh your mind because I've cheated in looking at our wiki. And it says, final submission, a dialogue on different cooperation models for approaches to internet public policy development. And that was based on the action line 11. And we had an agenda with brief outlines of processes of engagement and policy development at ICANN, ITU, UNESCO, UNCTAD, and elsewhere, with a star-studded crew that was over there, basically. That was in Geneva at the time. I've put a link in the agenda in the chat, so you can have a brief look at this. Laurie mentions that she's only going to be there probably for the day and not for the whole meeting. NCUC organized a session last year, mentioned Adam. And it appears that the IGF MAG will be meeting at the same time as the WISIS Forum. So that might bring a few people over. Any suggestions on
correct.
Topic? Thanks, Benny.
Sorry, the IGF will be meeting there 10, 11, and 12. So we start on Tuesday
right.
till Thursday.
So it might either be positive or it might create conflict, like Jim mentioned in the chat.
It will be conflict, but some of us might come one day earlier and participate in the first day of the WISIS Forum.
Okay. Well, the question is still there as to suggestions for topics. Would it be, I mean, in prior WISIS fora, just to remind you all, in 2015, we spoke about the INA stewardship multi-stakeholder process. That was in 2015. In 2016, we spoke about CCWG accountability. In 2017, we spoke about, we went from theory to practice capacity building programs at ICANN and elsewhere. Would it be worth, I don't even know whether it will be in time or not. Would it be worth speaking about the who is and the changes that are likely to happen based on the results of the EPDP, or is ICANN actually planning to do something like this?
Olivia, this is Nigel. So at the moment, I'm not confirming anything for the organisation after PASTA, but no. So the plan at the moment is to put a proposal in for perhaps a couple of workshops from the organisation. One would be in relation to capacity building, looking at the work that the GAC and the organisation have done in the underserved regions, along with actually community members as well. This is the GAC Underserved Regions Working Group program as a proposal to do something on the key signing project to update the wider internet community on the KSK. So those are two of the proposals that are being considered at the moment. In terms of the working group, I think there could be a number of issues to look at perhaps, but.
Thanks very much, Michael. So none of the ICANN sessions are likely to be reporting on the EPDP?
No. So what would be, you know, I'm not trying to suggest anything, but if we were to do, which we are planning to do, so we just agreed, if we were to look at extraterritoriality at the meeting in Kobe, part of that, of course, is not just GDPR. Part of it is looking at where other regional legislation can affect the wider internet, and perhaps a session looking at some of that might be useful. I mean, it's something which I think is getting increasing dialogue in the internet community, how internet shutdowns and other restrictions are affecting the internet for other people. So what happens in one country affects people in other countries, so to speak.
Yeah, thanks for this, Nigel. It's Olivia speaking. Mm. Now, that's quite a choice between the two, then, because I guess reporting on the EPDP just as a reporting matter and having a panel that will provide different perspectives from different stakeholders as to how that expedited process went to reach the result that will be presented, I guess, in Kobe. I'm not even 100% sure, but I think that's probably when it will be there, is one thing. Linking this to extraterritoriality and focusing the discussion more on the likelihood of legislation affecting the wider internet is, I would imagine, a different angle that takes away the focus on the EPDP itself and the process by which the community has reached its conclusions, but looking more at a wider internet governance issue. That is a sort of more fundamental issue as such. I see Laurie Schulman.
Yes, hi, Laurie Schulman for the transcript. I saw that there was a post on the ICANN website on a legislative report, and I apologize, I've not read it, but did that report actually identify legislation or just the need for alerts? Because I think that if there isn't any specific legislation to talk about, I'm not sure how valuable the session would be, because then it naturally goes back to the EPDP and GDPR anyway. However, if there are one or two laws that ICANN is watching, then I think it makes sense to sort of bundle it with that and GDPR. But if this is hypothetical, I think it may be more beneficial to not be hypothetical and to stick more to a problem that we're addressing in the present. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Laurie. Olivier speaking. Any thoughts on this? And welcome to everyone who's made it on the call. I noticed an additional number of people. So the question here at the moment is, if we would take part and effectively propose a workshop for the WESIS forum, agenda item 3. And the idea would be to be reporting on the EPDP. Laurie just mentioned that there might not have been legislation as such. I guess that if we were to report on the EPDP, we could always have an angle in the discussion that could extend to saying, well, ICANN has had to deal with this, although the great majority of domain names are registered outside of the European region, but this is something that they've had to address right away as a global matter. Are there any objections, by the way, to the EPDP being reported on then. I mean, this by the way, would be, I guess, if we were to say, yes, let's propose this, I guess the first thing that would need to be done would be to get in touch with the EPDC chair and, I guess, have some kind of an approval from them, since they will be the ones that would have to report, or at least we would have to get participants from that working group to report. That being said, I understand a number of people from the working group will be present at WESIS or at the MAG consultation. So we might be able to get a balanced, some kind of a balanced panel there.
Olivia, if I may, it's Nigel. I mean, obviously we can put in for what is wished. The one problem on making it specifically a report back on the EPDP is that if we're putting something in for the 10th of February, then it's slightly speculative about what is going to be able to be reported on in April, because it's the WSIS forum is April, not May. I'm just wondering, if we put something forward, then it would be difficult if we couldn't then go forward with it. But I mean, if we made it slightly more generic, perhaps, then we could perhaps. Anyway, it's just a thought.
Thanks for this, Nigel. It's Olivia speaking. I don't know the exact calendar of the EPDP. Is there a likelihood that there will be a public comment that will be associated with this? Because at that point, what one can do is to report on the actual, so to explain the contents of the actual report that will have been drafted by then and that will be in the GNSO's hands. And then alert everyone for the forthcoming public comment periods that will be certainly publicized at some point. There will be a board comment after the council adopts the APDP recommendations. Thank you for this, Barry. Do you have a date for this by any chance? Is there a sort of ballpark time when this will happen? February 21st is council meeting. Okay, so that's really very close. I was under the impression that the ratification would take place in Kobe, but maybe that's some weeks after that. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're not going to spend the whole call on this today, but let's. I mean, does anyone have any alternative? Unless I hear any alternatives, then what I can do is to follow up with staff, and we can follow up with the chairs of the EPDP and find out if this is a good idea. If it's not a good idea, then we'll just drop it. And I guess we need to act pretty quickly, since a proposal needs to be made by the 10th of February, if I understand correctly. 10th or 9th?
10th. Yeah, 10th.
10th, yeah. February the 10th. Yep, I'm not seeing any hands up or anything against this, so let's proceed cautiously and do that. And let's go then to agenda item 4, and that's our 5 minutes or 10 minutes of process, and that's an update on the SOAC chartering of the engagement group. Now, unfortunately, the response we have received from the CCNSO was that they are not going to be a co-chartering organization for the CCEG. Their members have decided to take part or are already taking part in internet governance via other means. So that's one that is not on the cards. The GNSO, as you know, had pulled out of the cross-community working group. I have not had so far a response mentioning whether they would be taking part in this CCEG. I'm not sure whether it's even on the cards at the moment. So at the moment, we It just leaves us to speculation with regards to the GNSO. The ALAC has not responded yet either. I have circulated the charter and asked them, but of course, one of the questions that they have had was, well, what are the other organizations doing? So I gather that there probably needs to be some discussion between the ALAC, the GNSO, and the GAC, as the GAC was the third or fourth organization that we had looked at for chartering this cross-community engagement group. Now, failing any kind of chartering from anyone, we will have to look at a plan B. And the plan B does involve the board working group on internet governance. And perhaps there could be, if it is deemed that there is an interest and a need for such a forum to exist in ICANN, perhaps create an informal group where we could still discuss these issues. I gather that a call from time to time, one call a quarter, doesn't quite dent ICANN resources, and I hope that this could still be afforded for the group to be able to function. So that's the way at the moment. Nigel, you might have more updates on this.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Olivier. Only to say that we put together a paper with your good self to the GAC leadership on what being a chartered member of the cross-community engagement group in what it means, so to speak, and what it the sort of duties and obligations, etc. And that note is being or has been discussed by the GAC leadership, and hopefully it will be discussed with the wider GAC membership, either at Kobe or before Kobe. So, I'm hopeful, or I think we're hopeful that the GAC will perhaps become a chartered member. And I thought we were hopeful that ALAC would as well at one point. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for this, Nigel. Olivier speaking. Any comments or questions on this topic? Tatiana Tropina.
Hi. As far as I understand, we are now talking about chartering, and I'm sorry if I missed the first part of this agenda item. I'm terribly sorry I'm late for this meeting. But I was wondering, and maybe someone can respond to this, maybe you, Olivia, how many advisory committees or supporting organizations should charter these. You know, I used to be a liaison for the GNSO, but as you know, GNSO refused to charter despite Rafik and mine efforts to get GNSO on board, but as CCNSO refused to charter, I believe the GNSO's position right now is that this group can just exist per se as engagement group without being chartered, and it will be doing just fine. So what is the opinion here, and how critical chartering is? Thanks.
Thanks for this, Tatiana. It's Olivier speaking. So with regards to the cross-community working group, the rule is that at least two SOs or ACs, or one SO and one AC, at least two ICANN component parts need to charter, otherwise it's not cross-community. With regards to an engagement group, since this is not defined per any kind of ICANN definition as such, it would probably not need to be chartered as such, except if one was to look at some more formality in the way that the group relates back to the different chartering organizations. So it's very much a case of if the group could continue as an informal discussion group of some sort, then perhaps we might take the wording cross-community out of that discussion as such, and say it's just an engagement group or a discussion group on internet governance. I know that there is a group that is not specifically chartered, and that's the one on human rights. So it might have the same sort of status and ability to be able to conduct calls every now and then, and also hopefully, yeah, looking at the example of the CCWP, correct, and hopefully being able to perhaps book a room or two during an ICANN meeting. That's still yet to be established. Of course, having a chartering organizations around it is makes it a lot more a lot easier to operate due to the formality of it and the fact that it has rules that different SOs and ACs are subscribing to as such. Tatiana Tropina.
Thanks a lot. I hope I'm not taking too much time or for this agenda item. But I would say that, yeah, I mean, I do not think that there is a need to remove cross-community from the title because it is cross-community. And I would also note that when I was an active member of CCWP on human rights, it was a few years ago, the problem was that there was always issues about legitimacy of this group. Thanks God that, I mean, now the group is legitimate per se because of the job it has done. And I believe that it might be the case of this cross-community engagement group because it already exists. But just to note that there might be an issue of legitimacy in this case. And as Barry noted on the chat, GNSO very much supports this group. It's just, it is really unclear what this vehicle is and how it has to be chartered and if it has to be chartered at all. I mean, I do think that certainly we can bring this issue up again to the GNSO agenda, maybe not now, but a bit later. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Tatiana. That's very helpful. And thanks to Barry for sharing this information about the GNSO Council. So that's something we can leave to the side, but thanks for this feedback. It's helpful. And if you do wish to continue the discussion on this, please use the mailing list. And therefore, we can move on now to agenda item number 5, and that's the report back from the MAG and the open consultation meeting that took place in Geneva last week. You've got 3 links in your agenda. The first one is the one to the German Internet Governance Forum website. The second one is a list of the proposed issues. The call for issues closed some while ago, and the whole list is available for your perusal. And finally, the agenda of the MAG meeting that took place last week. I'll turn over to, is it Nigel that I have to turn over for this, or who wishes to report on this? Because I certainly wasn't there myself.
I mean, this is Nigel, Olivier. I mean, I can certainly say a few words, but others were there as well, including including Vera from the GE team and Benny, who might be still on the phone. Benny was there as a MAG member. I was there as an ICANN representative along with Vera. So the week was structured. The first day was the open consultation. This is the chance when the broader internet community come together with the MAG and discuss what happened at the last IGF and look forward to the future IGF and discuss issues, et cetera, et cetera. And then the actual MAG gets down to some work in discussing the broader issues for the 2019 IGF. I mean, it's all, and some people here were there. I think Jim was certainly there for some of it, I think. I always forget where I see Jim in so many places. I mean, it was very, very positive meeting. This is the first meeting of the year, so the MAG is new. I mean, not all of it's new, but as you know, the MAG renews about a quarter of the MAG or a third of the MAG renews every year because people go off and come on. So that takes a bit of time for people to get used to it. But it was a very positive meeting. Germany was there at a senior level to talk about Berlin. As you see, there's already a website for Berlin. They're going to have a day zero. Angela Merkel is going to speak in the opening on day one. They're very positive about the agenda and going forward in making a difference, et cetera, in taking up the baton from France. And we can outline a few of the main issues if you like, if I can find the right page. But I'm sure other people might want to say a few words.
Thanks for this, Nigel. Anyone else? Benny is currently, Benny, you're a MAG member. I understand you were present since Nigel let that information out. Are you able to say a few words about this, please? And Benny appears to be currently muted.
I think he put in the chat he was transitioning from one room or something to the other.
Okay,
so,
maybe not then. I was going to turn, because I know that Jim Prendergast has been attending these meetings in the past. Jim and Laurie, I think, was also attending some of these meetings. Or have any of you attended the MAG meeting this year?
Yeah, hi, Olivier. It's Jim. Yes, I was there.
Jim, yes, you have the floor.
Not much to add to what Nigel has said. I think the only thing that is still taking shape is that the format of the 2019 IGF may differ from years past. I think there's a desire by the MAG chair and the host country to focus the agenda and really limit it to only maybe 2 to 3 major topics. Details on that still need to be fleshed out, and how that impacts workshop submissions as well are still to be determined. So the one thing I think that is obviously a benefit is that the new MAG was named way earlier than it has been in the past, so there is a lot more time for the MAG to focus on these issues, and they're meeting on a fairly regular basis between their face-to-face meetings via teleconference. So still early, but that's sort of where it looks like it's headed, and more details over the next few months, I'm sure.
Thanks for this, Jim. Has any overarching issue already been identified or not yet?
Cybersecurity, data, data governance, and inclusion.
Inclusion. And that's cast in stone, or is that just on the table at the moment and still needs to be fleshed out a little bit?
It's pretty much the concrete is setting as we speak.
Okay. Thanks for this. Next is Ben Wallace. Ben, I didn't realize you were a MAG member. I don't have the full list here. So it'd be great if you could share a few more things. Ben Wallace.
Yeah, so Ben Wallace with Microsoft. I'm in my second year now as a MAG member. So, yeah, I was going to say partly what I can build on what Jim just talked about. As he said, the plan, the MAG meets every 2 weeks online, but it only meets in person 3 times a year. And this was the first of those meetings. And it's those in-person meetings where the major decisions are taken. And so, there was a decision to have what, at least on the surface, looks like a more focused annual meeting with 3 broad themes. And as Jim said, those are inclusion, data governance, and then security, stability, safety, and resilience, I think. And obviously that third one will be particularly relevant to ICANN. But under those 3 broad themes, there will be, 15 or 20 sub-themes. It's not going to be a major change in the amount of topics that you could propose a workshop on. But I think it's going to help at least sell and describe the IGF in a more coherent way. I think the German government were keen to be able to say, IGF 2019 is about these 3 issues, and just rather than having a rather meaningless tagline, you're actually talking about 3 different tracks that the meeting will follow. And as Jim says, the concrete is setting. The plan is to develop narratives about what these 3 themes cover and what kind of sub-themes or topics fall under them in the next 4 weeks, so that when the call for workshop proposals goes out at the start of March, the MAG can say, these are the 3 themes where we're looking for workshop proposals this year, and these are the kind of policy questions we're interested in looking at on these issues. So, yes, that's the MAC has kind of taken a decision, and it's going to flesh it out over the next 4 weeks. The other thing that the first MAG meeting of the year has to do is decide on which streams of intersessional work will be carried forward for the year. You might be aware that in 2018 there was this major work stream of connecting the next billion, the CENB, which was on its fourth phase, and there were four best practice forums. The CENB has said it doesn't propose to take the work forward into 2019. It doesn't want to do a fifth phase. So that will cease. All four of the best practice forums did want to continue. Two of them on local content and on AI, Internet of Things, and big data were approved. There were written proposals presented to the meeting, and they were approved so they can begin work. One of them on gender was late providing a proposal, so that will be discussed at a future MAG meeting. And finally, the one on cybersecurity, which I'm a co-convener for, we proposed that the work this year focus on the Paris call on trust and security in cyberspace. And while there was some support for looking at the Paris call, there were four comments, including from Benny, as I can, also the Russian and US governments, who said that the BPF shouldn't look at the Paris call alone to the exclusion of other initiatives. And I think it comes under the next item, the two proposals coming out of the UN for work on cybersecurity this year were mentioned as some of the initiatives that the BPF should consider. So it shouldn't take forward work this year which only looks at the Paris call and doesn't look at other initiatives. So over the next 4 weeks, I will be going back to the Best Practice Forum on Cybersecurity, proposing a broader description of the work to be carried out that looks at elements that are in the Paris call, but also how those elements appear elsewhere in other initiatives as well, so that it doesn't focus only on the Paris call. So we would hope to bring something back to the MAG at the end of February that the MAG can then approve, and we can start that work in the BPF and cybersecurity. And I'll leave it there and let others speak. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this great update, Ben. That's certainly a lot of information that we have. I just have one question on this. You mentioned that there will be focus on specific topics, which I gather came from the call for issues and from the discussions of the MAG. If topics are presented as workshop proposals that will be outside those, the sort of more focused set of topics, will they just be dropped, or what's the sort of next steps on this?
I don't think a decision was made yet whether topics outside of the three themes would be accepted or not. There were some comments about, well, you could say that the majority of the program is devoted to these three themes, and others were saying that you should just say all of the program should be devoted to these three themes. As I said, I mean, each theme will have, I'm sure, at least a dozen sub-themes, and there will be, you know, it won't be a massive change in terms of the variety of topics that can be looked at. But I'm not sure how it will be managed and whether it's a requirement to fit under one of the sub-themes that are mentioned in the call for workshops proposals or not. That's something we'll be discussed in the MAG over the next 4 weeks, I assume.
Okay, thanks for this. It's Olivier speaking. Then I have one more question, because I'm looking at the German IGF website, and it says here 25th. Oh, no, it doesn't. That's the wrong IGF website. Okay, sorry about that. I was looking at the 2019 German Internet Governance Forum, not the one. The question that I had was with regards to the length of the IGF. Is that returning to its usual length with day zero and then
the usual number of things after this.
Olivia, this is Vinny. Can you hear me?
Yes, Vinny.
Okay, great.
You have
thanks,
the floor,
sorry,
and then we'll have Nigel afterwards.
Yeah, so it returns to the usual framework, and actually there may be a possibility that at the end of the IGF, the German members of the parliament would like to meet with as many people as possible. So there is a big interest, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating somebody, if you guys have already heard that, but there is a huge interest from the German government and from the German parliament in particular for the IGF, and big support, including support with money, $280,000 that they are providing for people from the south, so to speak, to come and be present at the IGF. So this IGF, unlike the ones before, is really, really well in advance, organized, properly structured, et cetera, so I expect that it will be a quite successful one. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks very much for this, Benny. It's Olivia speaking, and I've just written something really stupid in the chat saying the 29th of November is a Saturday, but it is not, of course. It's a Friday. So that would make it back to the original length of the IGF. And I note the number that's been pledged.
I'm sorry, this is Benny again. It is actually also the week of Thanksgiving. So for those of the people who celebrate Thanksgiving in the U.S., it may be a problem, and they may have to come only for a day or two.
Okay, thanks for this. Nigel Hickson is next.
Yeah, sorry, Olivier. I mean, I just wanted to note, I mean, as people have said, very, very positive indeed. The Jim kindly went over the best practice forums, which are the intersessional work that lasts for a year. That each best practice forum does its own sort of thing within that year and then gets renewed or not, as Jim outlined. There's also the dynamic coalitions, which sort of tend to have a longer time span and look at a whole range of different issues. There's about, I think, 18 or 19 dynamic coalitions. One that was set up in Paris is on the DNS, on the domain name system. This dynamic coalition had a discussion in Geneva during the IGF MAG discussions, and it's ongoing. The dynamic coalitions are open to everyone, so if anyone wants to get involved, please do. Its focus at the moment is on universal acceptance, and it's working very closely with the ICANN working group, or the working group that works with ICANN on universal acceptance, to try and raise awareness of this problem, to raise government awareness of the issues. So I think that's a very positive development. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Nigel. It's Olivia speaking, and the link to the dynamic coalitions is in the chat. There are quite a number of them. So that's great to see. Some work is going on in the DNSI as well. Now, we still have 5 minutes until the end of this call. What I propose is that we turn over to the next agenda item, and that's the latest developments on cybersecurity at the UN. And Benny Markovsky, we've heard from Ben Wallace a bit earlier an allusion to this, and I guess Benny can provide us with more information about what's happening in New York.
Indeed. I was able to hear what Ben said, and we have seen in Geneva during the IGF MAG meeting, a very young MAG member from Russia, Roman Chukov, who had been promoting one of the cybersecurity resolutions at the UN. As some of you may know, the United Nations General Assembly passed two resolutions for cybersecurity at the end of last year. One of them was is establishing the governmental group of experts of the GGE in the field of cybersecurity. This is something which has existed in the past. There are reports published by these groups in previous years. And the other one, which is the new one proposed by Russia, is the establishment of an open-ended working group on cybersecurity. Now, this is new, so it's not quite clear what exactly it will be and how it will work. However, one thing is already clear, that there will be some competition between the two groups. and there is no real understanding how these two groups will function simultaneously. But there is also difference in the way they will be functioning. So the open-ended working group will have consultations with businesses, civil society. So we probably will get some invitation at some point to participate in one of their sessions later this year. The GG will come with a report in 2021, and the open-ended working group will come with a report in 2020. So those of you who are interested in the United Nations know how to follow. Those of you who have not thought that the UN should be watched closely now will understand why it is in, it, we have, you know, ICANN has allocated resources to build relationships, educate diplomats, et cetera, et cetera. Those discussions at the cybersecurity, on cybersecurity at the UN will directly touch on ICANN's remit as they have in the past, especially with proposals around securing the DNS and managing the IP addresses. One of the versions of the resolutions, which did not pass, but it was in a draft version, and I think I've distributed it on the mailing list, was talking about the need for fairer distribution of IP addresses and internet resources under a multilateral mechanism. So I will keep you posted. I have to tell you that a lot of things are happening parallel at the UN and other agencies, and we just have to monitor all this and keep the community, the ICANN community, informed. That's all.
Thanks very much for this, Vinny. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and this whole topic of fair distribution of IP addresses and fair distribution of resources is not something new. I recall a number of sessions at the IGF in 2010, was it? The one in Sharm el-Sheikh, where there were heated debates about these fair distributions and how inconsiderate the current model was towards a number of countries. Well, that was the allegations, at least. Nigel Hickson, you have your hand up.
Yes, I did. But can I wanted to say something right at the end, so I'll leave for 10 seconds.
Okay, thanks. Well, we still have 1 minute until the end of this call. The floor is open for any other comments or questions or any feedback on what Vinny has told us about what's happening at the UN. I guess at present it's a good watching brief, and we definitely need to keep a very close eye over what's going on. I'm not seeing anyone putting their hand up. Does anybody wish to speak?
Olivia, just to add to this, I would be more than happy to keep regular briefings whenever we have these conference calls, because there is something new happening now almost all the time.
That's great. Thanks very much for this, Vinny. And, of course, if you may, then if some of these documents are public, and I know how sometimes things are not as transparent as in ICANN, things are sometimes very opaque.
These documents are public.
Okay, so if you can share any public documents as you have in the past, then that would be very helpful. Share it on the mailing list, because, of course, the work doesn't only take place during the calls, but also this is a channel that's open at all times for everyone to exchange information. Right. We've got our action items of what I have to do with staff later. Is there now any other business to discuss? Seeing no hands, it's 1800 UTC. We're on the top of the hour, and for once we're
on
time to end this call. But, of course, Nigel will throw a banner in the works. And you have the floor, Mr. Hickson. Go ahead.
Thank you. It's like just a minute, isn't it? I speak to the gongos or something like that. No, I just wanted to say that Tariq Kamal, who many of you, of course, will know, as you know, he hasn't been in the best of health, and he's been in hospital for some of the time in Geneva lately, but he was in the ICANN office this afternoon, and he asked to be remembered to to everyone on the cross-community working group, and he sends his best wishes.
Thank you very much for this, Nigel. And if you do see Tariq again later today, or if he's still in the office, then please do convey our support for his speedy recovery, and hopefully looking forward to seeing him soon.
Thank you. We certainly will.
Great. Good to hear that he was in the office. That's one positive step. Good. Okay. Well, I think that we've pretty much rounded up today's discussion. So thanks, everyone, for having taken part and having brought all this information. It's going to take a bit of time to digest, but we'll follow up on the mailing list with regards to the TCWG IG public session and face-to-face meeting. And we'll also follow up immediately after this call and later this week regarding any participation at the WEETIS forum. And with this, I'd like to end this call. Thank you. Have a very good morning, afternoon, evening, or night. Goodbye.
Thank you.